Thank you for listening to the Portland Christian Center podcast. This week, Pastor Ray Noah finishes our series on Abraham with a message titled, Leave Him Crying. Pastor Ray will walk us through five ways to build a spiritual legacy. Now here's Pastor Ray.
All right. Thank you. So the scriptures that we're going to look at today will be on the screens. Obviously, that's true every week. But if you want to find them in your Bible, I'm going to have you turn to Hebrews chapter 11. And bookmark that. Put something there to keep your place because we're going to go back to Genesis, but we'll ultimately end up in Hebrews chapter 11 as we bring to a close today this faith series on the life of Abraham. We've been in this now for 13 weeks, and we're drawing it to a conclusion. We'll start with a new series next week, but today we end. And I want to end this message series today by talking about the legacy of Abraham and Sarah, the legacy of Abraham and Sarah. Now, I realize that 2 weeks ago, Pastor Caleb kind of did a concluding sermon, and so this is kind of a postscript sermon. Last week was as well. I think there's some things that we can still talk about and benefit from as we explore this business of legacy. And besides, when Caleb spoke on Abraham's life in summation, he hadn't been ordained yet. Ordination took place the next day. So it was an unofficial sermon. I received my ordination many, many years ago, so this is the official ordained sermon, so you can really pay attention this time. I want to use this couple's legacy to talk about our legacy. You know, we all have a legacy. We're all in the process of leaving a legacy. The only question is, will it be a good one or a bad one? We all have a legacy that we will leave by the end of this life. Now, what is legacy? Legacy is simply this. It is the impact of our lives long after we're gone. That's what legacy is, the impact of our lives long after we're gone. And at the end of our earthly journey, our greatest legacy will be the footsteps of faith that we leave behind for others to follow in. There's a lot of ways to leave a legacy. There's a lot of different kinds of legacy. But the greatest legacy are the footsteps of faith that we leave behind that others can follow in. And I think that the greatest regret that we will have when we get to the end of our journey, the greatest regret that we'll have in heaven, if that's possible. I think just getting to heaven is going to be more than what we deserve, right? But if there's any regret, either in heaven or on earth, it will be this, that we did not risk greater steps of faith in this present moment. I think that will be the biggest disappointment, the biggest regret, that we didn't leave greater steps of faith for others to follow in this present moment. Abraham and Sarah's example of faith, by the way, remember, they are the spiritual parents of us. The New Testament says that Abraham was the father of our faith. And so in a sense, this couple is our spiritual parents. So Abraham and Sarah's example of faith calls us, when you look at their lives, their example calls us to leave no faith in reserve. You look at the end of their life, they spend it all. We are to leave no faith in reserve. We're to spend it all, to use it all for God's glory. There's an author by the name of Jack London. Most of you, if you were in school, at least in our day, you read some of his works. Jack London said this. He said, I would rather be ashes than dust, that my spark burn out in a brilliant blaze than stifled by dry rots. In other words, I would rather burn out than rust out. And he goes on to say, our purpose is not just to exist, but to live. I won't waste my days just trying to prolong them. I shall use my time. I'm going to use my time. Well, London's life, because he overdosed on morphine, came to a rather ignominious end, in spite of what he said there. But Abraham and Sarah's life didn't. They ended their life in a blaze of glory. They used their time. They lived, and they lived well. And in their death, they left some amazing footsteps of faith for us to follow in. Now, again, keeping Hebrews 11 bookmarked, here's how the book of Genesis records the end of their journey. Genesis chapter 25, verses 7 and 8. It says of Abraham that he lived 175 years old. To be 175 years old. That's a long time, huh? I mean, the effects of the fall had not diminished the life expectancy of human beings yet. And so he lived to a well-advanced age, 175 years old. And then he breathed his last and he died at a ripe old age, full of years and, get this, and contented. He was contented. And he was gathered to his people. If you were to go back a couple of chapters, you read Sarah's obituary from Genesis 23, 1 and 2. It says, when Sarah was 127 years old, she died in Hebron of Canaan. Now notice this. And there Abraham mourned and he wept for her. I find that amazing. That after probably 100 years of marriage, she's an old lady, 127 years. He's at this point 10 years older than her. He's 137 years old. And she passes away and he's mourning and he's weeping for her. Isn't that great? I mean, such was the spell that Sarah held over Abraham's heart. He wept for her. There was something still so compelling about her life at that point that she leaves him crying. Mark Twain once wrote, let us endeavor to live so that when we come to die, even the undertaker will be sorry. Sarah lived that way. That's the way I want to live. To leave him crying. Leave him crying. That's what I want. You know, not just tears of grief. I mean, that happens when we lose a loved one. Not just tears of grief, but I want to leave them with tears of gratitude and joy for the kind of life that I live, for a life well lived, and for the gigantic footsteps of faith that I have left behind for my loved ones to follow in. Now, ultimately, the greatest legacy of our life is that which God attributes to us. And this is what God said about Abraham's life, twofold. It's twofold. He said, Abraham is my servant, and Abraham is my friend. In Genesis 26, 24, God said to Abraham's son Isaac, fear not, for I am with you. I will bless you and multiply your descendants for the sake of my servant Abraham. He's my servant. In Isaiah 41, verse 8, God said to the nation of Israel, you are Abraham's family, and he was my friend. My servant and my friend. Now, servant refers to being an instrument in the hand of God, while friend refers to being intimate with the heart of God. Servant is, I'm an instrument in God's hand. Friend, I'm intimate with God's heart. And that's what I want. I want that for me. Do you? You want that for you, to be God's servant and to be God's friend? On that great and final day, I want to stand before God and I want to hear him say, this one, he's my servant. This guy, he's my friend. And back here on earth, I want my grandson Noah and his brothers and sisters, I hope there are a lot of them, and his cousins, I hope there are some of those. I want them to say of me, when I'm gone someday, your great-grandfather, he was a servant of God. He was a friend of God. That would be the greatest legacy, I think, in my opinion, that I could leave. The greatest legacy of all. Wouldn't you say that? That's the greatest legacy of all. But you also might be saying right now, well, yeah, but that's only for spiritual giants, huh? You know, only pastors and prayer warriors and patriarchs ever achieve that, right? No, not right at all. You see, we're all poured from the same mold. Some of us are moldier than others, but we're all poured from the same mold. We all were poured into the same mold as our spiritual father, Abraham. You see, Abraham was just as capable of lying and rebelling and blaming and fearing and self-centeredness and weakness as we are. I mean, he would have died an idol-worshipping pagan, a moon-worshipper in Ur, had it not been for God's grace. But weakness and failure and flaws aside, God still called Abraham my servant and my friend. And that remains by God's grace in the realm of possibilities for you and for me too. We can be God's servant and God's friend. So, how were Abraham and Sarah able to leave such a legacy of servanthood and friendship? Well, I want you to fast forward 2,000 years from Genesis to Hebrews 11. I ask you to bookmark that. Finally, turn there. We're going to look at this passage. And we're going to see, we're going to find out by looking at their life in retrospect. How did they do it? So looking at Hebrews 11, which is a retrospective on the great heroes of faith, some known, some not known, and Abraham and Sarah occupying a great portion of that story. In retrospect, we look at their lives, and as we do in this narrative, we're going to see five ways to build a spiritual legacy. By following Abraham and Sarah's example of faith, we're going to find ways that we can build a legacy, that we can leave a legacy of faith as well. Five ways. First of all, Abraham and Sarah were not unnerved by the unknown. They weren't unnerved by the unknown. Verse 8 says, Hebrews 11, by faith, Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and to go to another land that God would give him as an inheritance. Notice this. He went not knowing where he was going. Now, that's normally not a good thing. But in this case, it was an act of faith that he went not knowing where he was going. Now, personally, I love the security of knowing what's next. I think most of us do. I love the security of a can't-miss deal. I love guaranteed wins as much as the next guy. Most of you know that I'm a huge football fan. And I think there's been enough time for me to bring this up now. I'm a huge football fan. And there's some amazing ways these days to record football games so I don't have to feel bad about my team playing while I'm in church. You know, I can watch it on DVR or TiVo or whatever is out there now. But if I get wind that a game that I've recorded, my favorite team, if I get wind that they lost, I won't bother to watch it. If I know that they won, I'll watch it because I love guaranteed wins. Some of you wish you would have recorded the Blazer game last night. If you did, I don't want to spoil it, okay? So just going to stop there. But I love a guaranteed win. I really do. But there's something, see, I want to know the outcome to something before I commit to it. But there's something that I love even more than predictability. And that is the exhilaration of stepping out into the unknown, knowing that if God doesn't show up, I'm going to be in deep weeds. I don't like it, but I do like it. I hate it. I love it. I love stepping out there where if God doesn't show up, if he doesn't come underneath me, stand behind me, go before me, I'm going to be dipped in the yogurt real bad. I love that about faith. You know, Bruce Wilkinson, who wrote The Prayer of Jabez and some other books, a great, great writer and teacher, said this. He said, we ought to attempt something so great for God that unless he intervenes, we're bound to fail. I wonder, is there anything like that in your life? Something so great for God that unless he shows up, you're bound to fail. You see, I am not going to be remembered by my family, by my children, by my grandchildren. I will not be remembered for playing it safe. And neither will you. For playing it safe, no one remembers you. If you want an Abrahamic legacy, then you've got to reject your love of comfort. You've got to part with comfort once in a while to step out in daring faith. Because that's where the testimonies that history celebrates are born. When people step out in daring faith, William Carey, the father of modern missions, said, expect great things from God. But listen to this. Don't expect great things from God if you're unwilling to dare great things for God. You want great things from God? Then step out and dare great things. Attempt great things for God. Don't get unnerved by the unknown. That's where God works. Second, they were not intimidated by the impossible. Weren't intimidated by the impossible. Verses 11 and 12 say, by faith, believing God would keep his promise, they were able to have a child even though they were too old, and Sarah was barren. And so a whole nation came from this one elderly couple. Now maybe you've not stepped out in faith simply because what God seems to be asking of you is clearly impossible from a human perspective. Well, I would say in Abraham and Sarah's case, having a baby at their age was pretty much impossible, huh? Now, that was an impossible assignment. Listen, don't fear impossibilities. throughout Scripture we learn, and throughout our lives, the testimony of God is that God is God of the impossible. We read that in Genesis 18. God said, there's nothing impossible for me, nothing too difficult for me. So don't fear impossibilities. It takes some faith to do anything for God. It takes some faith to try things that you can do, but it takes great faith to try something that only God can do. If you're facing an impossibility right now, and some of you are, and I don't want to demean what you're going through. I don't want to lessen the fear and the anxiety and the risk that you're taking. But if you're facing some difficult, impossible things right now, I would just say, good, good. See, trials are simply the labor pains that birth great testimonies. It's always been the case. So don't let impossibilities dishearten you, because you are in the delivery room of a great legacy. Welcome impossibilities. Welcome trials with joy, as James says, James 1, 2, and 3, 3 and 4. Third, they were not disturbed by delays. They weren't disturbed by delays. Verse 13 says, they died without receiving God's promise, but they saw it awaiting them and were glad. The indication is they saw it from afar. They saw it in heaven. They saw that it was waiting for them, and they rejoiced. You see, our culture is way different than that. We believe that instant gratification is our divine right, don't we? I mean, how many of you get frustrated that your internet doesn't boot up within a second and you can't get to the web page? You're like ready to call Comcast and complain. How many of you stand in front of your microwave and hit stop at 3 seconds left? We want instant gratification, even in the church as believers. We think that just because we're God followers, He's obligated to bless us now. Right now, God. If we pray for something, we expect an answer. We demand an answer from God. Now, the people that leave a legacy of faith take a longer view of life than that. A long view of life. They know that God will fulfill some of His promises now. And they know that some of His promises will be fulfilled later. But they also realize, they fully realize, that some of God's promises will only be fulfilled in eternity. And they're okay with that. Are you okay with that? The things that God has laid on your heart, the promises that God has made to you in His Word or to you in prayer, are you okay that God may not fulfill those? He will. He fulfills all of His promises, but some of them may not be fulfilled until eternity. People of faith, people that leave a legacy of faith, are willing to trust the One who knows His own timing better than you, better than us. He knows His timing best, and legacy faith people are willing to entrust that to God. Their faith does not rise and fall on empirical data. You know, it's not blown here and there by circumstances. It patiently trusts and it fully obeys in spite of delays. So how about you? Will you patiently trust? Will you fully obey in spite of a delay? That's the kind of faith that leaves a legacy. Fourth, they were not dissuaded by the difficult. They weren't dissuaded by the difficult. Verses 17 and 19 through 19 remind us it was by faith Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice when God tested him. He was ready to sacrifice his only son, though God had promised, he's the son through whom your descendants will be counted. Abraham assumed that if Isaac died, God could bring him back to life again. Now, I don't believe that God intends for all of life to be sacrificial. There are points in our life that we're called to sacrifice, but not all of life. I don't believe that all of life God intends to be difficult. Don't believe that. Yet there are seasons. There are seasons when his call requires traveling a very difficult path. We know that. We read that in Scripture, and we know that to be true. There are times when we have to walk a hard path. But that has always been where great faith, the greatest faith, is forged, on the difficult path. I love what the poet W.H. Auden wrote. And this is so profound. Listen to this. He said, "To choose what is difficult all one's days as if it were easy, that is faith." Not a real happy little saying, but it's profound, isn't it? To choose what's difficult all through my life as if it were easy, that is faith. But if we shrink back from difficulty, our faith never has a chance to develop into something worth following. Don't be dissuaded by the difficult. And then finally, fifth, Abraham and Sarah were not preoccupied with the present. They didn't get stuck looking at earth. They weren't earthbound. They weren't preoccupied by the present. If you go back to verses 14, 15, and 16, it says, they knew earth wasn't really home, that they were just strangers visiting down here. If they wanted to, they could have gone back to the good things of this world, but they didn't want to. They were living for heaven. And now God's not ashamed to be called their God, for he has made a heavenly city just for them. Now, people who leave a legacy of faith have learned to hold things loosely, have learned to hold the things of earth loosely. They don't grasp and claw and hold on to this stuff here. They understand, they know, as C.S. Lewis pointed out, that there are better things ahead than any we leave behind. I've had a chance this week to spend some time on the phone, quite a bit of time with my father. Father's in his 80s and he's been a pastor for many, many years, retired now for many years, and health is failing. And last Sunday he was found in his apartment unconscious, and they thought it was a heart attack and took him to emergency room. He spent the week in ICU, and he's going to make it, but he's going to be in some rehabilitation. And the doctor said, you can't go back to what life once was. And so we've been talking on the phone and kind of walking through some things. And, you know, he shared almost every day there comes a point when he thinks literally, because of how he feels and what's happening, that he's going to pass away, that he's going to die. And he said to me, you know, the closer I get to heaven, the better it looks. He said, Ray, heaven is not some cheap substitute for life, for the world. It's what Christians were meant for. It's the place that we celebrate. It's the hope of our salvation. And he's learning and has learned to hold the things of earth loosely. You know, I've done, I don't know how many funerals and memorial services in 35 years now of ministry, lots of them. Lots of funerals, lots of memorial services, lots of graveside services, and I have yet to see a hearse pulling a U-Haul. Doesn't work that way. All the stuff goes back into the box. It goes back into the garage. It goes back to somebody else. It goes away. Only the things that were done in faith, by faith, through faith, will follow us or precede us to heaven. Friends, there are better things ahead than we leave behind. So learn to live. Practice living with an eternal perspective. I want to challenge you today to go home and just open up your garage, your two-car garage, your three-car garage, your four-car garage, whatever you have, and just look at the stuff. And just say, God, thank you that I don't need this. I don't need it. And then sell it and give it to missions. But and say, just literally say, there are better things ahead than this stuff that I've got to leave behind. That's how you leave a legacy. That's the way to a life that will inspire the generations to follow. And that's the kind of life, that really is the kind of life that I want to lead. I want to leave for my family. I want to leave that kind of legacy for my friends, my loved ones. And should I precede you in death, I want to leave that kind of legacy for this church. Not taken off my game by the unknown or the impossible or the delayed or the difficult or the temporal. I want to exchange all of those things for the bigger things of God. for the greater things of God. One of the most famous spiritual leaders in American history was D.L. Moody, Dwight Lyman Moody. And he was on his deathbed. And it was said that he turned to his sons who were there and he said, "Sons, if God be your partner, make your plans large. If God be your partner, make your plans large." And so I want to challenge you as we end this series on Abraham to get some big faith plans and start stepping out and dare great things, attempt great things for God. And at the end of the day, you will leave a great legacy. And when you go, you'll leave them crying. Not just tears of joy, tears of grief, but tears of joy and gratitude for the example that you've left. Let's pray. So, Father, we thank you for this word over the past 13 weeks of this man, Abraham, and his wife, Sarah, and the legacy of faith that they've left for us, and now we've been called to follow in their footsteps. They're our spiritual parents, as it were. And I pray that not one in this room today who's set here through all of these different messages will leave unimpacted by their example. But I pray that all of us would start daring to believe you more, daring to obey you more, daring to step out and to trust you more. Lord, I pray that along with me, every one of us here, when we finally go, we would leave huge steps of faith, footsteps of faith, for others to follow in. May that be our legacy. May you say of us, that person, they were my servant. Yeah, they were my friend. While your heads are bowed, everyone's just contemplating this moment, allowing the Lord to speak to you about your faith and maybe steps of faith that you need to take. You know, some of you here today, I'm pretty sure, need to take the initial step of faith toward God, and that is to surrender your life to him. You've never done that. Or maybe you did that a long time ago, but you've been walking apart from God, being God of your life, Lord and Savior of your life. And I want to give you an opportunity before we go home today on this Mother's Day that you would say, "Pastor Ray, you're talking to me, and I want to leave a legacy of faith, and right now I can't. I can't leave that kind of a eternal legacy because I've never accepted Jesus, or I'm not walking with Jesus." And so if that's you and you want to be included in a final prayer to surrender your life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, to invite him to be Lord and Savior, that means to be the captain of your life and to be the forgiver of your sins and the grantor of your eternal life, that you can begin today to establish those steps that will be footsteps of faith so that someday others can follow. And if that's you, you want to be included in a final prayer to receive Jesus, I want you just to raise your hand up right now so I know who to pray for. So all over this place, I already see hands going up, but just keep them up for a moment so I can see who I'm praying for. So over to my left, just raise your hand up if you want to make that decision and pray that prayer. Thank you. Thank you. In the center, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. In the center, you can put it down. Others, make sure I see who you are. Thank you. Over to my left, your right, just raise your hand if you want to be included in this prayer. Thank you. Others, thank you. I'm going to look up in the balcony. Those up there, just raise your hand up real quick. I'll see you. Yeah, thanks. Thanks. Others? So let's all stand together. Father, as in the last service, many in this service have raised a hand to say, "I want to receive Jesus. I want to begin the journey of faith." I don't know if it's for the first time or it's maybe a recommitment to surrender to the Lordship of your Son Jesus. But I pray, Father, that you would do that work that only you can do, that you would cause rebirth, new birth to happen in their hearts today. So I pray that God, as they surrender their heart to you, that through Christ's blood, Christ's sacrifice, their sins would be forgiven, past, present, and even future. I pray that by faith you would come to live in their heart as Lord. And I pray from this day forward that as you enable them through the presence of your Holy Spirit in their lives, that you would enable them to walk for you, with you, all the days of their life. And then, Lord, best of all, thank you for giving them the gift of eternal life. Wow. Thank you, Father. And I pray for them, as I pray for all of us, God, would you help us to so live that we would leave a legacy of faith for others to follow in. I pray this. I thank you for it. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. God bless you. I love you. Happy Mother's Day. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to the Portland Christian Center podcast. For more information about the ministries of Portland Christian Center, please visit us online at pcctoday.com. Again, thank you for listening.